I'm Madeline Brand, and this is Day to Day. More trouble today at the New York Times. The influential newspaper has published an editor's note citing numerous defects in its coverage of the buildup to war in Iraq. It refers to stories that depended on information from Iraqi exiles. The note today says, quote, "Looking back, we wish we had been more aggressive in re-examining the claims as new evidence emerged or failed to emerge." Many of the articles in question were written by Times star reporter Judith Miller. And for the last year, our colleague Jack Schaefer, Slate's media critic, has been leading the call to re-examine Miller's reporting on weapons of mass destruction. Jack Schaefer joins us now. Welcome back to Day to Day.
Glad to be here.
First, explain the problem as you've seen it with the Times coverage of these weapons of mass destruction, or lack thereof.
I think that the problem with the Times coverage is that in the 18-month run-up to the war, the paper wasn't adequately suspicious or skeptical of many of the dubious sources that they interviewed for stories. Many of these sources for their stories were Iraqi defectors who'd already been passed over by U.S. intelligence as not credible or as not good sources. So I think that their problem, and other publications and media organizations had the same problem, they gave more credence to these sources than they should have.
Now, the editor's note talks specifically about Ahmed Chalabi, who has come up in the news recently as being pretty much cut off by the U.S. government, who he was once relied upon by the U.S. government, as well as these major media organizations like the Times. The U.S. government was relying on him, so can you fault the Times for also listening to him?
Sure. Sure you can fault the Times. The U.S. government is not a monolithic entity. What you had was the White House and certain pockets of the Pentagon being real believers in Chalabi. Sort of uniformly, the CIA and the Defense Intelligence Agency were both very, very skeptical of these defectors, did not believe them. And so, yeah, you can be critical of the Times. There are a wealth of newspapers out there who were skeptical about the defectors. Michael Massing wrote a terrific piece in the New York Review of Books 6 weeks ago or so, in which he really handed out plaudits to the Knight Ridder Washington Bureau, which was among the most skeptical of major media organizations in sort of assessing the reality of the weapons of mass destruction threat.
Now, the editor's note in today's Times is remarkable in that it exists at all. What do you think of it, and do you think it's enough of a mea culpa?
I think it's a mini culpa rather than a mea culpa, but I'll take it. And I think that if you read between the lines, the Times is saying, whoops, we goofed. We need to go back to square one. On their website, they provided links to all of the suspect and defective stories, so the readers and, you know, gnarly press critics like myself can dig into them once again and punch holes in them. So I think it's a beginning. I think the real test of the Times is not today's note, but what the Times does now to correct the record. Major media organizations, NPR included, minor media organizations such as Slate, are not, you know, generally very good at self-accountability and going back and correcting the record and making sure that, hey, we didn't publish a, you know, defective story, and you know, major media tends to gloss that stuff over. So, you know, the Times is not that unique in the fact that it made 18 months worth of miscues, or 24 months, if depending on where you want to set the marker.
Opinion and analysis from Jack Schaefer, who writes the Press Box column for Slate. Thanks a lot, Jack.
Thank you.
And this note, we requested an interview with someone from the Times, but a spokesman declined the invitation, saying the newspaper plans to let today's editor's note speak for itself.